there. Good morning. It's Gary Zimak. Welcome to another edition of Spirit in the Morning. Today is Wednesday, October the 25th, and we are glad to be with you here today. Got a great show lined up. Coming up on the program today, we're going to be joined by author Philip Campbell. He's going to be talking about his new book, Heroes and Heretics of the Reformation. I think this is such a huge topic because on October the 31st, we celebrate, well, I don't want to say celebrate, we commemorate, it's a more appropriate word, 500 years of the since the Protestant Reformation. There's a lot we can learn from that. I mean, no doubt there was damage done when Martin Luther did what he did, but we can learn something from it. Philip Campbell's going to be here to talk about some of the lessons and some of the backstory on the Protestant Reformation. It's not all just Martin Luther, so there's a lot to that story. We'll also be joined by Kate Wicker. She is the author of Getting Past Perfect. She's going to talk about something today that that is near and dear to my heart. It's about the fact that we love our children, but there's only so much we can do for them. And sometimes we just have to let go and let God. Man, as a father, that is a hard topic. And I'm glad Kate's going to be here to address that. In addition, we'll have the usual music and inspiration. So right now, let's kick things off with prayer. You know, as I was driving into the studio today, I got this. I was talking to the Holy Spirit, and I got this idea that it's quite possible that you are listening today and you're sick with some sort of an ailment. Maybe it's a chronic ailment, maybe something very serious that could even be terminal. Here's what I want you to remember. The Lord loves you and the Lord can physically cure you. I mean, there's no doubt he can do it. Plenty of evidence in the Bible for that. So we're going to ask for that physical healing for you today or for your loved one, whoever it may be. We're also going to ask for the grace that you'll be able to deal with whatever it is that you're suffering from until and if that healing comes along. You know, there's no doubt you can get his peace even in the midst of suffering from an ailment. He's either going to give you the grace or he's going to take it away. Let's pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you today with hopeful hearts. Father, we come to you recognizing the fact that you can do all things. We recognize the fact that you created the entire universe out of nothing. We recognize your unconditional love. No matter what we do today, good or bad, we can never make you love us any more than you do right now. Thank you for that. Your unwavering love never changes. And because of that, with every situation we face in life, we know that it's somehow an expression of that love. Father, we ask you to continue to give us the grace that we need to remain hopeful, even when facing difficult situations. We ask you, Father, to heal any of us who are suffering from some sort of physical or mental or spiritual ailment. And please grant us the grace that we need to deal with these conditions while they continue to exist. We ask you to speak through us on the radio program today. Give us the words so that your message can come forth over the airwaves. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dave Amen. Parker, good morning, my
good
friend.
Good morning, Gary.
It was a bit nippy in the studio today.
Really? I think it was colder in here than outside.
Oh, my goodness. Frank Eliason, I got in here today. I had to do the Sunrise Morning Show. I did it with my coat on because it was cold here today.
Something with the AC, I think.
But these are challenging days. Going to read the weather in a minute, but cold in the morning, warm in the afternoon.
You know, people are confused what to wear, how to prepare for the day. You know, I even saw a little blurb from a newscaster, actually a weather person, who's actually a friend of mine, and he was talking about snow even. And I was like, what? And
so, did you cut that feed off?
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. Snow, it was crazy. And I'm like, I can't even think about that right now. Right now, it's like, you know, we're unusually warm many of the part of the days. It's hitting 40s at night. And so this wide variation is quite interesting.
Yes,
but it happens every year.
And it's
and it's actually my favorite time of year. I love fall.
So
you know, the beauty of the color changing, the differences in the weather, get to experience all the seasons at once.
That's right. And next next week is November already.
Wow.
Hard to imagine that.
Absolutely.
You know, it's funny, though, when I was a kid, and I'm sure I don't know if this is true. When we would go out trick-or-treating for Halloween, it always seemed like it was on the cool side. It was cold.
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. Is it just... I know I'm setting myself up. Is it just that I'm getting old? Or well, did
that's
it seem...
either here nor there.
I know. Yeah, I just gave you a softball there. Yeah. But didn't it seem, Dave Parker, that it used to be cooler?
Oh, yes.
Fall was had a distinct feel to it. And now it's
crisp. Yeah. And it's almost it was almost like clockwork. After this date, calendar date, all of a sudden we're in fall, and then, you know, cool, very cold nights, cooler, you know, warmer days. But yes, but now it's like an admixture of, you know, some days are warm, some are really warm, and some days.
In recent years, it feels like you have summer all the way to winter, maybe a week of fall.
Right.
It doesn't feel, and the same thing happens, seems, in spring, too, where it basically it's, you know, you don't have that gradual warm up. It's basically just, you know, it's not spring, and then all of a sudden it's summer, and you're hitting, you know, upper 80s and, like, you know, all of, not getting that enjoyment of that middle weather.
Yeah.
And I think
transitional.
I think there is things about, like, you know, that we do have to be mindful of you know, a lot of people not sure about climate change and all that stuff. But the reality is there is things that are going on that, you know, we do have to be mindful of, and we have to take care of our environment. You know, I'm not necessarily fully on board with climate change. I think part of it's cyclical throughout the history of time.
But, with you, brother, yes.
But at the same time, you know, we do need to care for the environment. So I don't think there's necessarily a bad message within all that either. I think, you know, caring for the environment is extraordinarily important.
It is.
You know, but, you know, that's – and what the cause is, could be any of those things. It could be nothing. It could just be our own, you know, observations are a little bit skewed. But for me, I don't think our winters are near as much as they used to be. And, you know –
I'm with you. I agree with you on that.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say it just made me picture, like, I mean, when you said, like, one day it's summer and then we're in winter, you know, and everybody's scrambling, you know, all their – cold weather clothes are up in the attic or whatever, and everybody's like, that's a whole day of like, hey, I got to take my summer clothes
that's
and put them up and you know. Yeah, that happens a lot. Like, I still have a lot of my summer clothes out, and I haven't gotten any of my winter clothes out yet.
Well, you better get on that.
I know.
You better get on it. But, you know, then again, you're from Erie, so things are a little different in Erie.
good transition.
Right? On so many levels.
On so many levels, yeah.
Well, have you been to – yeah, you've been to Erie. Have you been to Erie, Frank?
Frank,
you got to go to Erie. It's a wonderful little town.
Put to that enjoy on, all the sports.
That's yeah, on yeah, bucket. Really. That's on Frank's bucket list. Oh, yeah, that's right. We were talking about the many, many Erie sports teams out there. Because as Philadelphia fans, we realized that...
Go Erie Otters and the Commodores, not the singing group.
The Erie Otters and the Commodores?
What well, are these well, there little, are other, yeah, little league teams? Various teams. There are like three or four others.
Are they little league teams?
Pretty much.
No, they're not. No, there's some are semi-pro. You know, some are like little farm teams for the Indians.
You know, we
farm teams. Farm teams seems so fitting.
Yeah.
Yes, and let's see.
Even
let's
you live in Bucks County, you think there are farms here.
We have. So we have the Philadelphia Eagles, the Philadelphia Phillies. We have the 76ers, the Flyers, and you have the Erie Otters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We're sorry,
I didn't
Dave,
name
because,
them, though.
Oh, Frank, don't we feel foolish now?
I didn't name them. Hey, let me say this. Okay, to this
we got
weather,
them on the ropes, Frank.
No. I'm never on the ropes. I mean, it's called the rope-a-dope, man. I'm luring you in.
Okay.
All right, man. Hey, no. Speaking of weather, and you started. I mean, my training you on weather stuff. You started off with a good weather piece here. So my good training is paying off. But Barbara. My wife says, why ask you? Always cold and eerie.
Very good.
Thank you, Barbara. And yeah, that's true.
Very good. And by the way, you know, sorry to bust on you about the Erie sports teams. In the event that Father Larry Richards ever comes on the show again, and I think he's due to be on again soon, you're not going to mention anything about this.
Yeah,
right,
we're huge
Dave?
Fans of the Otters.
That's right. We love them. Erie Otter. Frank has season tickets. All right.
Smart boys.
How
I think
about,
he's pretty smart.
Or Justin
right?
Fatica, right? He's another tough guy who's on the show from Erie, right?
Well, that's why he's tough. I mean, you got to be if you come out of Erie, you survive Erie growing up. You know, you play in snowdrifts when you're like four. Your parents lose
and
you.
And that's in the summer, right?
What is their product that they most farm up there?
I would say now it seems like grapes and wine.
That's right, grapes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I actually learned this yesterday from my
Really?
My daughter Robin was studying and Erie was grapes, and I was going to ask you that. Just so happens it got brought up on the air, so I figured I'd ask
you. Realize
you got it right.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Well, just in the last, 30, 40 years. And you know why that? Okay, here's another weather fact, and we'll move on.
Here we go, get Cliff.
On.
Hurry up.
Okay, because, all the Great Lakes, I mean, fresh water, and Lake Erie is the warmest. I mean, from the summer heat, it retains its heat. So the growing season is extended.
Oh,
it goes into So I mean, it's, and the grapes love it.
Very interesting. Right. Well, you learn something new
growers.
Each day on Spirit of the Morning. I think it's time for the gospel.
I think it was already time.
Today we go. Sorry, Dave. Today we go to
we
Luke
need
chapter.
You, Jesus.
Don't be
help
sure.
us.
Don't be sorry.
Luke chapter 12, verses 39-48. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be sure of this: if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" The Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward, whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely, and the servant who was ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." Here we go again. That theme sounds a little tough. As we near the end of the church year, we're going to hear more and more of this. Get ready. That's all the Lord's saying. Get ready. I told you the deal. You're going to be judged one day. It's just, to me, I find that inspiring.
Yeah, let the beatings begin.
Yeah, I know. I mean, well, you know what Jesus is doing? Exactly. He's trying to get the listener's attention. And boy, does that work.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you know, he gets our attention.
Absolutely. And, where are we in that, folks? That's the whole point of the gospel. We must be ready at all times.
That's right. So we're here to help get you ready. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Philip Campbell, the author of Heroes and Heretics of the Reformation. We're going to be talking about the Protestant Reformation. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for October 26th. Today we celebrate St. Peter of Alcantara. Reform of the Church was the challenge in the 16th century. Today's saint directed all his energies to that end, including his focus on personal reform. After studying at the University of Salamanca, Peter joined a small branch of the Franciscans in 1515. He was soon recognized for his gifts, serving as superior of a new house before his ordination and as provincial before he had reached age 40. Whatever position he held, he was not above washing dishes and cutting wood for the friars, asking little for himself regarding food and clothing. A successful preacher, he never gave in to the prejudices and passions of the day. Later, Peter obtained permission to form a group of friars who would follow the rule of St. Francis with even greater rigor. Members of the community slept in small cells, abstained from meat and wine, and begged for their food. Eventually, they became part of the Order of Friars Minor. Toward the end of his life, Peter offered spiritual direction to St. Teresa of Avila, encouraging her in the reform of the Carmelite order. He died in 1562 and was canonized in 1669. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
more inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
About that, that's Craig Wayne Boyd with the Old Rugged Cross, and I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's best known for winning season 7 of The Voice. Man, that's a classic song, old time gospel song, great rendition. I hope that gets you started. I'm Gary Zimak. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Thanks for joining us. The time is 7:18 on October the 31st of this year. We commemorate the anniversary, the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. Now, our next guest, Philip Campbell, is the author of a new book called Heroes and Heretics of the Reformation from Tan Books. Philip's going to join us now to talk a little bit about this event, the Protestant Reformation. Philip, good morning, my friend.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us on the show today.
No problem.
Hey, Philip, the book is fascinating. You know, as Catholics, there's been a lot of different opinions, and I've gone through this myself. Do we commemorate? You know, we've heard celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Do as Catholics, what's the best approach to look on the 500th anniversary of this event that caused quite a bit of division in the church?
Yeah, as Catholics, I don't see that the Reformation is something that can ever positively be celebrated.
Right.
I mean, it's nothing other than the rending of the body of Christ on earth, and that's nothing to be celebrated. I think the appropriate response is sober reflection, reflection on the historical and theological causes that led to the Reformation, reflection on how those wounds continue to affect the body of Christ and its witness in the world today, and the, you know, what we can do to reach out and reconcile with our separated brethren. So I would say sober reflection mm-hmm. is the best way to approach it.
Right. For the benefit of someone who's listening who is not familiar with the Protestant Reformation, can you give us a brief overview of what took place?
Brief?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so it's essentially in the early 16th century, led by a German monk, Martin Luther, a movement rose up starting in Germany to break away from the institutional Catholic Church, and it later spread beyond Germany. It spread beyond Luther to mm-hmm. Many different leaders in different countries around Europe. Lots of political, civil discord going along with the religious discord, and eventually by the end of the 1500s, you have one-third of Europe's population had removed themselves from communion with the Catholic Church and were now in a variety of local new Protestant churches called Protestants, in the word protesting.
Mm-hmm.
So it was essentially the dissolution of the unity of the old medieval Catholic Church.
I find it interesting in your book that typically we associate Luther with the Reformation, and certainly he was the central figure, but the movement actually started before Luther, correct?
In a way, there was a proto-Reformation going on before Luther, and this came out of the humanist movement, which was a literary movement going on in the generation before Luther.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a movement that the figures in the humanist movement were still, in many cases, faithful Catholics in communion with the Church, but they also inaugurated kind of a period of ruthless criticism of the Church, criticism of her practices, in many cases, criticism of her doctrines and disciplines, and just clamoring angrily for a reform of Christian life. Now, there's nothing un-Catholic about wanting the Church to be reformed. I mean, I'm Catholic. I would love to see certain reforms in the Catholic world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not an un-Catholic thing. But in that period, oftentimes, the distinction between what was a legitimate reform and what was attacking something essential to the Church was somewhat blurred. And essentially, the humanist kind of critique of the Catholic faith kind of set the stage for Luther. It like created the kindling pile, mm-hmm. and Luther was able to light it when he came along.
As Catholics, when we look at this period in time, and of course we use this term Protestant Reformation, there's obviously a protest going on and there's a reform going on as well. Was there any need for reform, spoken as a Catholic?
Spoken as a Catholic, yes, there was, but okay. Not the reforms that the Protestants wanted.
Right, and that's what I'm getting at. Right. So, I mean, there were some issues on our side as well.
Yeah, for example, bishops not living in their dioceses or holding multiple dioceses or being too enmeshed in the political affairs of the time. If you want to look at what the actual reform was needed, look at the reforms of the Council of Trent in the 1500s and what the Church actually did reform, and you'll get a good view of what the problem was. I mean, nobody would like the idea today of a bishop who never lived in their diocese and spent all their time, you know, at the king's court or something like that. So there was definite problems, but they weren't the problems that Protestants, you know, it wasn't doctrinal problems about the Church's faith. It was more about the administration of the Church from a Catholic point of view.
Right. Now, what I found interesting in your book, you highlight different individuals who are associated with the Reformation. You do a chapter on each. And the chapter on Martin Luther, I found it very interesting. You call it The Gloomy World of Martin Luther. I think it's important for us to understand something about Luther, what he was going through, because then it helps us to better comprehend why he did what he did. But in particular, one paragraph that you mentioned about Luther struck me. You said, but the mind of Martin Luther was not interested in interpretations of things and sides of an argument, nor mere aspects of the truth. Law thrived on uncertainty and obfuscation. Martin wanted clarity. He wanted to know the fullness of truth, to have surety about life and the world. But yet at the same time, Martin Luther rejected the fullness of truth. What went on?
Well, the short answer is that Martin Luther suffered from a case of scruples. He was, despite the assurances of his confessor, despite the observance of his religious life, He suffered from a constant uncertainty that God hated him, that that he was condemned, that he was going to go to hell, and he could not rest. He could not rest in the faith and hope that the church told him to rest in. He needed some sort of absolute certainty. And essentially, what happens with Luther psychologically, it's interesting. We see him project his own uncertainties about his relationship with God onto the entire human race, and he makes his own struggle to overcome scruples the fundamental struggle of all human beings, which is pretty radical, but it really is the interpretive key to understanding his entire thought.
Yeah, and as a result, he came up with the theory that that man could do nothing to save himself. And of course, Catholics, we believe we are saved by grace, by works through grace, correct?
Yeah, it's very interesting because obviously no person is perfect. So as long as you're even considering your own merits, there's always room for doubt and nuance in Luther's mind. So he can only get over this doubt by shifting the entire scope of the argument away from man's merits to something different entirely. Now, of course, Catholics, we don't believe we're saved by works or anything like that. This was a mischaracterization of Luther. But we do believe that our works and our merits are important, and that through Christ's grace, we trust that he makes up what is lacking, and his grace makes our works pleasing to God. Mm-hmm. That's the Catholic act of faith that Luther was unable to grasp. He needed to remove his own works and merits from the argument entirely and shift the whole ground to God's unmerited favor, which the sinner obtains merely by confessing that he believes that he can't save himself, and he trusts God to come in and kind of do the whole thing for him.
Right.
So it's very interesting. It's essentially a psychological struggle in the mind of one man that he projects onto the whole human condition.
Yeah, and basically what he did is he pretty much went off the deep end with this and really took it to the extreme, and he ended up really fighting against a supposed belief of the Catholic Church that wasn't really the case. I mean, he misinterpreted the correct teaching of the Church.
Right, and that endures in Protestantism to this day, the belief that Protestants believe we're saved by faith, Catholics believe we're saved by works, and many Catholics, you know, think that too, because it's a simple dichotomy, but it's not the case. He ends up fighting against something the Church never teaches because he can't overcome his own scruples about it. And it's interesting... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's interesting that in the beginning, Luther is somewhat of a sympathetic figure at the very beginning when he's trying to overcome his own personal problems. But the thing is that Luther can't resist the celebrity. Once he starts becoming the head of a movement, he gets more and more bombastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Pope doesn't teach that. Well, the Pope's wrong. Well, the councils disagree with you. Well, the councils are wrong.
Right,
you know,
right.
He just gets more and more... he can't resist the celebrity of being the head of a movement, and it just propels him and his personality off the deep end and leads him into full-scale break with the Church.
And it really helps us to understand what went on the more we look at the life of Martin Luther. The book is Heroes and Heretics of the Reformation by Philip Campbell from Tan Books. Philip, great book. Where can we pick up a copy of the book?
You can get it right on the Tan Books website, or it is for sale on Amazon.
Wonderful. And I'm going to have a link to that on Spirit in the Morning. Philip Campbell, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thank you.
God bless you. That was a fascinating look at the Protestant Reformation. Again, that link will be on spiritinthemorning.com. When we come back, Kate Wicker.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Pro-life leaders are blasting the decision by an appeals court to clear the way for a pregnant teen in the U.S. illegally to obtain an abortion. The order has allowed the teen to get required counseling in order to get that abortion as soon as today. The teen is 15 weeks pregnant and being held in a Texas facility for unaccompanied minors who entered the U.S. illegally. The government could still appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. Students for Life President Kristen Hawkins said a tragedy has taken place, saying, quote, "The United States should not become an abortion destination spot for the world. Shame on Planned Parenthood and the ACLU for using this teenager to try and create Roe v. Wade 2.0 in the courts," end quote. Refugee admissions into the U.S. will resume under new, stricter screening rules, but nationals from 11 countries believed to pose higher risk to U.S. national security face even tougher scrutiny. U.S. officials refuse to identify those 11 countries, but say refugee applications from those nations will be judged case by case. President Trump issued his new order on refugee screening yesterday as the administration's four-month ban on refugee admissions expired. Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign and the Democratic National Committee helped fund a political research firm that produced a dossier of allegations about President Trump's ties to Russia. That, according to a person familiar with the situation who spoke yesterday evening to the Associated Press. The dossier contends that Russia was engaged in a longstanding effort to aid Trump and had amassed compromising information about him. Trump has repeatedly dismissed the document as false. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Social Security is with you through life's journey. Get to know us at socialsecurity.gov. We are there, day one, with baby names and a gift that lasts a lifetime. We are there as you grow, protecting you and those you love. We are there when you get your first job, helping you to save for the future. We are there when you marry your sweetheart, to help secure your new life together. We are there if the unexpected happens, to help you see life from a new perspective. We are there when you start your next chapter, to make sure you get off to a great start. And we are there when you lose your soulmate, to help make sure you will be all right. We are with you through life's journey. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. Get to know us and see what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Need a lift? Gary's got you. The uplifting way to get through the day. Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
I don't want to hear anymore, teach me to listen. I don't want to see anymore, give me a vision that you could move this heart to be set apart. I don't need to recognize the man in the mirror, and I don't want to trade your plan for something familiar. I can't waste a day, I can't stay the same. I wanna be different, I wanna be changed, till all of me is gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright, the whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different in me. And I don't wanna spend my life stuck in a pattern. And I don't wanna gain this world but lose what matters. So I'm giving up everything because I wanna be different. I wanna be changed till all of me is gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright. The whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was different, brand new from Micah Tyler. I'm Gary Zimak, and it's great to have you with us here on Holy Spirit Radio. Well, each month on our show, we are joined by author Kate Wicker. She is, her latest book is Getting Past Perfect. You can find her online at katewicker.com. She joins us today to remind us of the fact that, and this is tough as a parent, that we do not own our children, but rather we are stewards of them. They belong to God, not you. And they are here to fulfill His will, not my will, or not their will. Kate joins us now on the phone. Hey, Kate, good morning.
Good morning, and I'm sorry if you can hear a little chaos in the background. We're actually in a hotel room on vacation, so my husband's trying to wrangle the kids and keep them quiet.
But Kate, we'll keep this short, and I really appreciate the fact that you're doing the interview even while you're on vacation.
No. Boy, it's my pleasure.
This topic, Kate, really resonates with me as the father of girls, of twin girls who will turn 20 in a couple days. You know, we just got done homeschooling them. They're in college now. My wife and I had to let them go. It's not easy. It's not easy to let our kids go and to believe what you say in your book, that God loves them more than we do.
Yeah, and I think there's, you know, your children are older, so you really had that big let-go experience.
Yeah.
But I think every day in the trenches, there's these little let-goes and these, you know, relinquishing of control. I have permission to share this story, and I've shared it during different interviews. But when I first realized that I had no control, my first came out of the room just very tenacious, and she, when she started potty training, she would not go number two in the potty, and my pediatrician put her on an adult dosage of Miralax and said, she will go.
Yeah.
She held in her potty business for 15 days.
Wow.
And I can just remember crying in the bathroom, and it sounds silly now, but I can just remember praying and thinking, you know, you can't make your children do certain things. They have their own will, and I think we sometimes think they're here to fulfill our will, or at least their will, but really they're here to fulfill God's will. So it's just this huge moment where you have to relinquish control and just say, you know, I'm not in the driver's seat here. I have to do the best I can. I never give up on my children when they're having something maybe big in their life that we're trying to help them with. But sometimes you do have to give your children up to God, and it'll drive you crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, trying to control it. But I know my parents have given me a lot of really good advice, because we had an older sibling that just has had some more issues and sort of strayed. And for a long time, my mom blamed herself. And then finally, she just realized, you know what? I've got, like I said, to not give up on this son of mine, but to give him up to God. And she said it was very hard, but there was also something liberating that he needs to make his own choices, and, you know, she's done the best she could, and she has to pray, and like St. Monica, just, you know, just the perseverance in prayer for our children is that if we don't have a happy ending, maybe that's because it's not the end yet.
What a good point. And boy, Kate, this is so tough. In general, you know, you make the point in the book that Christian parenthood is a lot like Christian life. It demands we relinquish control. Now, as a control freak, and as somebody who, right? I mean, that is not easy. But, and I found in my own battles against anxiety that once we do, right? I mean, so we can relate. We know where one another are coming from. But once we do make that decision to surrender control, there is a certain peace that floods our heart.
There is. And, you know, one of the reasons I felt called to write this book is there came a point in my life where I needed to stop homeschooling for myriad reasons, and it was very difficult because I just thought that was something I was going to do. But I remember thinking, and you know, having all this anxiety and thinking, gosh, if I don't homeschool, then all this stuff's going to happen. And I said, wait a minute, I never wanted to homeschool out of fear. I wanted to homeschool out of love. And I think every choice we make as a parent, are we holding on too tightly? Are we doing something just out of fear? Because that's not the way to parent. We want to parent out of love and out of joy. And so I think some of this, realizing that we don't have a control, even though it's scary,
right,
it does give us a little bit more freedom, and it does perhaps bring a little bit of joy back, because we can just say, you know what, I give, and I will say, I think God gave me some tenacious children, and five of these children. I mean, even my last pregnancy was a very difficult pregnancy. I was sick the whole time, and I was thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going
right.
to do this? And then Charlie came, and he's just been such a blessing to the whole family, and so easy, and it just made me realize, you know, that whole pregnancy was me anxious and doubting, and once again, God trying to teach me that it's going to be okay. And sometimes, like I said, it doesn't seem like it's going to be okay for a really long time.
Right.
And
right.
We don't know, but we just have to trust that God's timing and God's plan is so much greater than our own.
And we want to make sure that we emphasize that as parents, we're called to do what we can. We're called to,
oh, exactly.
right? We're called to not just sit back and say, oh, well, let it take care of itself.
No. But I think so many parents, especially parents listening to the show, they're the ones who are trying so hard.
Exactly.
And this book, I wrote it because I saw so many Catholic moms and parents just on the verge of burnout, and, you know, so anxious and or just maybe not even just not enjoying motherhood, maybe not with any clinical depression or any, but they were just like, you could see they were battle-worn soldiers, you know, and I don't think that's what God created us. I think he created us to enjoy our kids.
Right.
And sometimes to enjoy them means just saying, you know what, I have a bad day. I throw my own tantrum. Sometimes my kids are going to throw a tantrum in the grocery store.
Right.
And I need to take a deep breath and encourage good behavior, but I also don't need to let this little moment totally ruin me or globalize it. I share another story about when my son had sort of a bad moment at preschool.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember thinking that he was a psychopath.
Yeah. I love that story in the book.
I think we can all relate. Like, our child has one bad day, and we're like, oh, my gosh, I'm raising a juvenile delinquent.
That's exactly
like,
right, yeah.
You know? And so we can't globalize, because we have bad days, and we have bad moments. We have bad months sometimes. And I think that's the thing that's hard with parenting, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just as you figure it out, things change. And especially if you have all these different personalities, what works for one child totally doesn't work for the next child.
Exactly.
So you're just trying to figure things out, and you don't want to beat yourself up or take your children's behavior as an indictment of your character. Or on the flip side, you know, I've seen parents, too, like, oh, I did everything right, you know. My children are angels because of everything I did.
Right.
Well,
right.
You know, my parents always told me, don't take credit for the good, because then you don't have to take credit for the bad. And
good point.
What they were really meaning is, any of the good, give thanks and glory to God, you know, and then any of the bad, just take a step back and know that it's not always going to be like this. Just because your child makes a few missteps doesn't mean that they're destined to a life of abject, you know, misery or delinquency. So
that is really great advice. Kate, we have about 3 minutes left in the segment, and I want to make sure we touch on something that really, really got me in this chapter. You say this about the Blessed Mother. Sometimes we think she had all the answers, but Mary often didn't have the answers, and she had to ponder things in her heart and try to figure out God's will. This is from your book. You say this: picture Mary at the foot of the cross. Here is a mother in agonizing emotional pain, being forced to watch her beloved son suffer, and through absolutely no fault of his own. She surely must have asked God, just as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, why can't you take this pain away from my son and from me? But just like Jesus, she accepted with grace and profound faith God's will for her and for her son. Boy, that moved me, Kate.
Well, I think that's a huge thing that we have to do, is just look to Mary and how she just trusted, and she didn't always understand things. I share that when they lose Jesus in the temple, and he's kind of like, well, didn't you know I was in my father's house? I don't know if Mary completely got what just happened.
Right.
But she accepts it and trusts in him and trusts in God. And I think that's something that we are called to do as well when we don't understand why our children... Hello?
You still there?
Yeah, I'm still there. I don't know what that was.
That was interesting.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
Me either.
But why you know, we just have to trust. Sometimes our children, they're not even making a bad decision. I've seen older parents, like, they want their child to go to one college, but their child decides to go to another college, or their child decides a career that maybe they don't think is right. You know, or even mothers have told me, as happy as they are to hear their son's going into the priesthood, they also know that they're sort of losing a son, and they're losing a chance to be a grandparent to that, you know, child, to that child's kids. And so all of these things, even when it's not necessarily a bad thing, it's just trying to understand it. We try so hard, but maybe we don't need complete understanding. We just need trust that this is the path that, you know, that God has chosen for them. And we just need to trust that things are going to work out.
Great advice, Kate. The book is Getting Past Perfect, How to Find Joy and Grace in the Messiness of Motherhood by Kate Wicker from Ave Maria Press. Kate, if our listeners want to find you online, maybe invite you to speak or find out more about the book, where's the best place to go?
Sure. KateWicker.com. That's my website. It has information on speaking, and I very sporadically blog. I do Instagram encouraging posts a little bit more, and you can find the link to my Instagram on my blog. And yeah, I would love to encourage as many people as I can. That's sort of been my mission, because I've been in a discouraged place, and I really don't want other people to fall into that trap.
Well, you do a great job, Kate, and we really appreciate you being on with us. Enjoy the rest of your vacation.
Thank you. We're doing Disney for the very first time.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Go have fun now.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks again. God bless you as well.
Bye-bye.
Kate Wicker, boy, Dave Parker, wow. That was that picture of that image of Mary standing at the foot of the cross.
I know.
Watching Jesus suffer. Wow. That just blew me away.
Yeah, no words.
Yeah.
In a way, it makes me speechless, but yes.
Good stuff. When we come back, the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. On April 10, 1912, Father Thomas Biles boarded the Titanic in England to travel to New York City for his brother's wedding. But on April 14th, while Father Biles was saying his nightly prayers, the Titanic struck an iceberg. During the last few hours before the ship was fully submerged, the priest heard confessions, granted absolutions, and led the terrified passengers in prayer. He also helped many third-class women and children onto lifeboats, staunchly refusing one for himself. Ellen McClare, a young Irish woman on board, spoke of Father Biles' courage in the face of tragedy. His heartfelt litanies, along with the musical strains of Nearer My God to Thee, were the last sounds she heard before a lifeboat carried her away.
This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You're listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That was Kara Klein. Before I do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse, I want to do the weather today. Right now at the Philadelphia International Airport, 57 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Today we're going to have mostly sunny skies with a high near 67. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 48. To the Thursday, a slight chance of showers, high near 61. At the moment in Malvern, it is 48 degrees. In Bensalem, it's 56 degrees. And in Wilmington, Delaware, it is 51 degrees. Today's Be Not Afraid Bible verse comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. All of us go through highs and lows. We go through good times, go through bad times, go through difficult times. And I think the important thing to remember is that as long as you are walking with Christ, there's always hope.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, no matter how gloomy
brother.
It looks,
absolutely.
Better days are ahead.
Yes.
Your problems won't necessarily go away, but there is always hope. And of course, that finish line, we're all striving to make it to that finish line, which is heaven. We all want to get to the end of our life and move on into the heavenly kingdom.
And we want to hear those words, well done, you know, faithful servant.
And sometimes in a really dark and depressing and dreary day, that's what you need to hear in your mind. Well, there's hope.
Yeah, and a lot of, again, this goes back to the feelings we have because we're human. You know, and sometimes we even though we're feeling down and out, I mean, and that maybe forces a lot of people to, like, you know, chuck their faith, but that's when we have to cling harder. Like if it's a feeling and we're not feeling it, so to speak, you know it's a feeling, folks. Don't go by that.
And that's so important what you're saying, Dave.
Yes.
Because just because I don't feel God is with me, it doesn't mean He isn't.
True.
Just because I don't feel my heart beating or my brain working, and sometimes there's a reason I don't feel my brain working, but we won't go there.
Frank, you want to go
I'm
there?
I'm tossing one over to Frank in case he...
Let it go.
Yeah,
no, too easy.
Frank said that's too easy.
All right.
But just because I don't feel it doesn't mean... Because I don't feel God's presence doesn't mean He's not there.
Exactly.
And just because I feel hopeless doesn't mean my life is hopeless. Absolutely not.
And that goes to what my point is. Like, sometimes our emotions overwhelm us, and we have to step back and know how to control that and not go with those. Because sometimes they take us down the wrong path. Oftentimes.
Definitely. Dave, before we go, we don't have much time left, but I want to touch on this with you. We had somebody here talking about the Protestant Reformation.
Mm-hmm.
You're a former Lutheran.
Yes.
This is a very complex topic.
Yes.
And, you know, we're going to have more people addressing this, because I think this is a matter that needs to be addressed. But here we are. Frank, there's no doubt. We're fractured. The body of Christ has been fractured. It's been wounded. Now, we can finger point and say, it's your fault, we're right, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can say, how do we fix it?
I think the number one problem, and we talk about this all the time, but the number one problem, and it was true back then, it's true today, which is this inability sometimes to listen to that other side, to hear what is really being said. Instead, we hear either what we want to hear or actually the exact opposite. We tend to hear the extremes. We tend to hear, oh, you're saying I'm wrong, or you're saying this and you fully agree with me, when most of the time the answers are in the middle. Yeah. And I think the key is sitting back and going, what is it really trying to be said?
Mm-hmm.
They're not trying to tell me I'm wrong. They're trying to tell me, here's another way of thinking, or here's more that you can think about. And I think this is true throughout time. I think we've had these polarizing moments like we do today in other parts of history. I think they're a constant. And it's all in how we go about dealing with them. And I think that was the struggle with a lot of the breakaways that the church has seen over the years, is exactly those things. Now, did they have all things that were, you know, bad or whatever? No, in many cases, they were actually, it may have been right in some ways, but neither side were truly listening to understand. They weren't understanding, like, you know, the people that split away weren't understanding maybe what the church was doing fully.
Well, they were talking past each other.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
And we're doing it right now.
We are.
This is happening today, and if you don't see it, I think that's the challenge. I think we have to sit back. We have to pray. We do have to understand. You know, we were talking about the popes, Pope John Paul II, and like St. John Paul II, and how great he was at trying to bring people in. And you know, but I always look at like Pope Francis, Pope Benedict, and St. Pope John Paul II. You know, it's why, what, and how? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's easy for the why and what. Mm-hmm. Here's what you need to be doing. Here's why you need to be doing it. The how starts going about, here's how you go about doing things. Mm-hmm. And I look at Pope Francis, and a lot of things he's saying is not against the faith, but some people see it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, but what they're not realizing is it's how we go about doing things. It's, exactly. you know, that love and mercy for others. It's that understanding yeah. of others.
We're all children of God and,
that's
and
right.
Jesus.
And representing Jesus in what we do. What exactly. would Jesus have done? Jesus would have hung with the sinners.
Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely.
You know, so instead we sit there, if we're going to sit there and go, oh, you know, you have this sexual preference, you're bad. Mm-hmm. No, it's, you know, would you live with the sinners? Jesus would live with the sinners.
Yeah. A lot of people have that, I look at it, have a pharisaical view. They're the Pharisees, and you had to go by the rules or you're out.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. Good stuff. We're going to be talking more about this. It's too much to talk about in the short time that we have. Until we meet again, this is Gary Zimak reminding you that wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Just make sure you turn around and say hi. God bless.
God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.